Jenna and Carol on K104. It's Happy Hour.
Welcome to Happy Hour with lawyer and TV personality Jenna Spilbor and author and inspirational speaker Carol Pesci. Happy Hour comes your way every Sunday morning at this time with life advice, real conversations, and awesome interviews with self-help heavy hitters, best-selling authors, celebrities, and more. Would you like to maybe live better, stress less, and laugh more? Then you've come to the right place. The following is a paid program, and the views expressed do not necessarily represent the opinions of the management of this station or Hamel Broadcasting.
Good morning, all, and welcome to Happy Hour. It is Jenna Spilbor, it is Carol Pesci, and it almost sounds like I'm leading up to something exciting, and I am not. It is also Frankenberry. yes, I know, such a disappointing buildup, huh? But anyway, we're back with another show. Ladies, how are we doing?
Doing okay.
Yeah,
frustrated with technology, but
very
yes. Something about updates, and I'm sure everybody out there will probably agree that whenever updates happen on any whatever your phone platform happens to be, it is just a pain in the butt. It really is.
Does anybody really get excited about updates?
No.
They annoy me because it changes how, like, you can, you know, boom, 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 exactly how to get the stuff. And then I'll do an update. And I'm like, wait, where, how do I go?
What's yes, up? Exactly. And then the worst part is then it offers you things that you don't want. Hey, we just did a bunch of new updates. How would you like to check out what you can do now? And then all you want to do is scream at it.
It's never for our benefit. It's always for their benefit. They're collecting some new data. They want to know more about us. They want to listen even harder to our conversations, know when we blow our noses. That's what the updates do. And then they're like, oh, no, it's for security purposes. Oh, no, we're going to make your life easier. Yeah.
That's right. And we're going to ask you right now if you want to enjoy, if you want to see something new and exciting, when in reality, we're just stealing more from you.
I'll tell you what, the only update I was excited about was when they added the middle finger emoji.
I was excited too. Yes. They should make the emojis bigger though. Sometimes if it's dark and you don't have your glasses on, you don't know whether you're sending like a
spaghetti or
finger.
A cup of tea.
Right.
Well, that's also you, Jenna, as well, at 3 o'clock in the morning and dim lighting. Well, you know, you're upset because you're not exactly sure of all the stuff you ordered because apparently the typing and the lettering isn't big enough either. You know, the fonts on whatever it is that you're going to, whatever websites.
I got a bigger problem as far as that goes. But hang on.
More things you don't know what they are.
Remember? Well, no, here's what happened. I did something in the middle of the night and I bought something. I bought like a DNA test, not like the kind that, oh, who am I related to? I bought one that's supposed to test your, it tests like all your cells or something. So it will tell you what your body's missing and what your body needs, that kind of thing. And I did it. I swabbed the inside of my cheek. I sent my saliva through the mail. And then I'm supposed to check an app to see when the results come in. And I can't freaking remember, for love or money, what the name of this thing is. I don't know how to go to an app. I can't remember what it was called. Nothing.
And yet,
nothing.
She will be surprised when the authorities knock on her door.
I know. They tell me I'm related to a murderer.
That's right.
Yeah.
Wait, how'd you get my saliva? You gave it to us willingly. And that's when the other officer just starts giggling to themselves.
I mean, I can't remember what it's called. Like you would think. And then half of my stuff, they could be contacting me, but that email will go to clutter.
I was going to suggest you look at your credit card statement, but that is a whole rat's nest too, isn't it?
Oh my God, please. There's like 50 of them. I don't even know which one that was. But speaking of this, along the same lines, I was going to suggest today, before we discovered that technology is the devil, I was going to suggest a little segment called annoying or necessary.
Oh.
Because.
Like updates?
Well, like updates. And here's something that's similar. I get, let's change it to annoying or genius. I get, I'm sitting, like, first of all, who gets actual mail? We don't really, when I get actual mail in the mail, like from a company, I usually ignore that because I think it's just an advertisement or whatever. And I got something in the mail from Home Depot, you know, looked like a credit card statement. Now, I do have a Home Depot card, but before you say anything, it was from when I was doing my house reno 6 years ago. I got a Home Depot card for stuff. And but so I rarely use it. So Home Depot sent something in the mail and I just happened to open it. I don't even know why. And it's like, hey, we noticed you haven't used your Home Depot credit card in a while. And if you don't put something on your Home Depot credit card, we're going to cut your credit limit in half.
Mm.
Now, our good friend Jeannie Kelly had talked about this a while back when we had her on one time, that credit cards will, these kind of store credit cards, if you're inactive, they'll just cut you off and you won't have that credit card anymore. And so I said to myself, self, I mean, I don't use the card, but I want to be able to use the card if I need to use the card. So sure enough, I bought something on my Home Depot credit card. And I'm thinking, is this annoying or is this genius that they made me purchase something so I could continue to have the privilege of credit at Home
I wonder
Depot?
Well, why they do that.
And how do they know? Like, what is there some algorithm? Like, they just randomly go, oh, this consumer hasn't bought anything. Now, for all they know, I could be going in Home Depot every other day and paying cash, right? It's not like I'm not spending at Home Depot, for all they know. How would they know?
First of all, when you go to Home Depot, they probably have like a loyalty program, or they probably ask you to put in your phone number or something to that effect. So they probably got you on file if you do pay in cash. But secondly, if you were okay with possibly Home Depot just cutting you off and getting rid of the card, that's fine. But my question is, and this would be a question of Jeannie Kelly, if they say that they're going to cut your limit in half, mm-hmm. what does that do to your overall credit is the bigger question. Is because one of my creditors decided that I was possibly a credit risk, or at least it can be viewed that I was a credit risk, so thus they cut my available credit in half. They
right, no longer so it changes your score.
Right, it changes your score. So now it affects your credit. So it's not, now obviously, look, it's these guys, they very simply have a couple of lists. They're just going to have one list that says inactive customers, and they're going to go back to that list, and they probably got a cutoff that says 3 years, 4 years, 5 years. So that's a question of Jeannie Kelly. Does that affect your overall credit? Because that's different than them just saying, we're going to kill your card.
Right. I didn't even think about that. And according to the letter that they sent, which was effective because I ended up buying something from Home Depot, I'll tell you about that in a second. They in the letter, they say, we don't care what it is. Like, it didn't say you have to spend $1,000 in order to not have your credit card affected with us. It basically said, buy anything. Like, I could have bought a freaking screw for what? A dollar. And it would have kept the card the way it is.
So the question is, why do they need to keep you on their rolls as a current paying customer? What is it? What is the deal they have with their credit? You know, the credit agency or the creditors that actually get your money and they get the percentage. And would it be better to just say screw you and just cancel the card once you paid off this small bill?
Yeah, I mean, because the card had a zero balance. It wasn't like I was that I had a balance that I was paying off and I just hadn't made any purchases. The card was zero. It's been zero for a long time. And I think that's what, I don't know, you know, we're going to have to talk to our good friend Jeannie Kelly. So do you want to know what I bought?
I do, from Home Depot. Yes.
We have to know.
Absolutely.
All right. So here's what I bought, which goes along with, I don't know whether it's the new moon. I don't know whether it's a recent birthday. But you know when you get you just want to do some spring cleaning from time to time and like get rid of all your old stuff, bring in some new stuff, clean out all your closet. Like that feels really good, right? And you can't do it that often, you guys, because it's not like an afternoon. It's sort of it could take a few days.
And it's rewarding, but it's exhausting making all those decisions. Yes.
Oh my God. Oh my God. I haven't slept. I have been moving furniture like it's my job, half of it by myself. So
moving furniture.
Well, yeah, I got rid of my couch. I replaced my, not from Home Depot. I replaced my couch. I had this fabulous, I still have it. I just moved it. Poker table that was in my house that wasn't being used as a poker table anymore. It was being used as a very large cat bed.
Oh, I thought it was Amazon staging station.
Well, no, that was the dining room table, which I've now moved into the actual dining area. Like I did a whole, like, and I did all this in one weekend. I still can't move. So anyway, I take the bait and I bought, okay. So in the previous Amazon staging area, I had a dining room table, a glass dining room table. And then I had, it was old, but in very good condition, an old, I guess you would call it a wine credenza that had two built-in wine refrigerators that had stopped working a long time ago. So you could only do room temperature wine. And then in the center of it, you could put glasses or whatever, plates, blah, blah. Now, I started calculating the age of that thing, and it goes back to like almost 20 years ago.
Whoa.
So, yeah. So I moved that. I moved the poker table. I moved that old wine credenza to my office garage. And I, from Home Depot, I bought a slightly smaller credenza that you put your own wine refrigerator in. So when you build it, it's a cabinet. On one side, it's like a regular cabinet. On the other side, it's an empty hole that you slide in a separately purchased wine refrigerator. Okay. So I thought that was pretty good, right? So they got me for, you know, a few bucks, Home Depot, with their genius / annoying idea. So then it comes, right? And of course, nothing comes put together anymore. Nothing. So,
but you're getting good at this though.
Holy moly, you're not kidding. So this big cabinet comes, and the refrigerator was heavy too. It's a nice little wine refrigerator. And the instructions on the cabinet say, this is a two-person job. Now, last Wanna Saturday. Bet. Yeah, that's what I said. I said, challenge accepted.
Exactly.
So I went out.
Done it.
In my garage. Oh, I'm sure you have. I went out of my garage. I set a timer on my phone and start to finish. 3 hours later, yours truly built this cabinet piece by piece by myself.
Well done.
Congratulations to you.
Thank you. You're good, you. Yeah, that was something. So yeah, Home Depot got me, and then I got myself by spending 3 hours doing that. But it looks, and you know, the other cool thing, even though I have a love-hate relationship with AI, speaking of, when you buy a cabinet that you have to then put your own refrigerator in, you can't just buy any refrigerator. You got to carefully, like Home Depot didn't say, hey, buy this cabinet and let me suggest this refrigerator. No, they couldn't make it that easy. I had to separately research what refrigerator would fit in the cabinet and which one was okay to put inside a cabinet like that. And so when I asked AI to help me out. And then I asked AI, I said, pretend that this cabinet is already put together and put the refrigerator in it. And let me see what it's going to look like when it's done before I buy these two pieces. And it did that. Pretty cool, huh?
Well, at least it didn't show you a picture of a mushroom cloud. You know what I'm saying?
No.
You know, Jonna, if you continue along this path, you're going to blow yourself up. It didn't say that. So, I mean, I find that to be a positive right there, whether the fridge fit or not.
That's because you're glass half full. Very optimistic you are.
Exactly. I am. Yes.
So that's what I did. So that now when you guys, the next time you come over, the Amazon staging area is gone. I don't have an Amazon staging area anymore. Nope. Now it is a lounge. When you first walk in, it is a lounge. I have a bad picture. Well, so ignore the shoes. I'm going to send it to you. I have a bad picture, but I'm going to send it. Maybe you'll get these texts. Maybe you won't. Because we
hence our initial discussion when we first came on that we're having trouble with a very simple 3-person group text.
Ah, mm-hmm. yes. Make us sound even older. That's fantastic. Hey, Mabel. Can you hear me at the end of the tin can? I think my string may have broke.
And of course, I didn't get the photo. So
you didn't get it.
No, I got the photo. I see shoes lined up all neatly. I see one cat sitting in. I'm going to guess that's a guest chair that the cat shouldn't be sitting in. And I see another cat who looks like they are in the process of seeing something frightening because their back is half up and they're half stepping into it or away from it.
Or like, no,
like
she's
cats
probably
do.
Probably just trying to jump. So ignore the shoes because those are going to go away. So Carol, you didn't get this text.
No, here we go again.
Now, all right, wait. I'm just going to test one thing, even though this is fascinating radio. I'm going to send the picture Carol.
Okay.
Just to Carol and see if she gets it. Okay.
Okay, that's fine. That's fine. But
anyway.
Okay, that. Pumpkin.
Okay, yes, exactly. Thanks, Carol. Keep going. Okay, Pumpkin.
So I am a little concerned that I no longer have a Amazon staging area, but this is what I figure. All right, here's what it's going to allow me to do. Without this staging area, I will be forced to open the boxes as they arrive.
As they arrive.
And put them away.
Awful.
Oh. Put them away.
Oh. Oh, you poor girl. I see the sweat. I see the sweat starting to build up on your brow now as we speak.
I know. Because you know it's every day. It's every day.
Well, it is every day. I mean, you order a bunch of stuff you don't remember, so...
God,
I mean, never mind. It's every day for the stuff you do remember.
What am I going to do about this?
I just got the DNA.
All right, so you can get it alone, but you can't get it in the group.
Correcto.
Wow.
Oh wait, no. Hang on. Yes, correct.
Okay.
All right, we're going to stop talking about this on here.
Yes. All right. Yeah. So,
thank you very. Stop it.
All right. So we're almost out of time here, ladies, in our our session
now.
Here. This is a new segment here, but we are going to lead into a recent guest, as a matter of fact.
Sherry Lee. She's so awesome. She was a former litigator. Turned somewhat personal improvement guru. She's fantastic. Mm-hmm. She's been on the Today Show. She's written multiple books. And she was on recently talking about how important the story we tell ourselves is and to be aware of what story we're telling ourselves and how to flip that. In fact, she's got a program and in the future a book coming out called Flip the Box. She's got an amazing backstory about the origin of her life. And she's just all around good person, sharp. And when we come back from the break, we will be rerunning her interview from a little bit ago.
All right. Sounds good. You've got Jonna Spillboard, Carol Pesci. You've got myself, a Frankenberry, and we will be back with Sherry Lee.
Jonna and Carol on K104. It's Happy Hour.
Live better, laugh harder. It's Happy Hour with Jonna and Carol.
And welcome back to Happy Hour here. It is Jonna Spillboard. It is Carol Pesci. It is this fellow they call Frankenberry. And it's time now to get to our guest. And we have a returning guest who actually said to herself when she got the email from Carol about possibly joining, she went, oh, my God, we're friends. She just said, hey, do you have 20 minutes to chat?
We are friends.
That's right, man.
Although I will say, I think Jonna loves her as much as she hates her. And I say that because Sherry, as I'm going to tell you in a second, was a former litigator. So she went from being a lawyer to following her bliss. I think part of that
She escaped. She escaped. She and I'm escaped. Completely jelly. I'm totally, completely jelly. So on that, in that regard, yes, I do hate her, but I love her more than I hate her.
There you go. Okay. So with us today, we have Sherry Lee. She is a TEDx speaker, four-time author, podcast host, and connection expert who helps people create meaningful relationships in a disconnected world. She's a former litigator. She reinvented her life and career to focus on the power of human connection, traveling to all 50 states to share a meal with a stranger in each state and uncover what truly brings people together, which became one of her books. She is the creator of the Flip the Box Method, a practical framework for building trust, belonging, and connection in under 60 seconds. Her work has been featured on the Today Show, People Magazine, and across national media. She lives in Dallas and is currently preparing for the launch of her new book, Flip the Box. We make sure we'll talk about that before we wrap up. This is a blueprint for human-centered leadership in a disconnected world. Sherry, welcome back to the show.
Thank you. It's so good. It feels like we are friends now. I believe this is my fifth time. I think this is my fifth time with you.
I think it is. I think it is. Yeah, absolutely. Well, we love
many.
So that's the truth. So the topic we are going to focus on today is something you speak about often, and which is the story you tell yourself and how that changes everything about yourself. But before we do that, if you could give our listeners who maybe didn't catch it the first four times a quick background. What's your story, Sherry? What brought you here to doing this?
Sure. Well, as you mentioned, I'm a former litigator. And the first time you spoke to me, actually, I was still living in Seattle, Washington, which I lived my entire life until this past September when I moved over to Dallas without any friends or family here, no anchor, but I absolutely love it here.
Oh, good.
And thank you. But so I'm from Washington, but I was born in South Korea and I was orphaned. We may get into why the book is called Flip the Box, but yeah. Quick teaser, I was orphaned and found actually in a cardboard box and ended up being adopted by parents that lived in Washington State and grew up in the Seattle area, became an attorney, had two incredible kids, had an okay ex-husband, and here we are. I started writing books. I've been told I'm not really supposed to say my age, but I can't help it. I started writing books at age 50, and this next book coming out will actually be my fifth book. And I absolutely, you know, I understand why Jonna kind of hates me, because I absolutely love this life that I'm living now. I used to take vacations to escape my life before, and now my life, even though I work more, feels like a vacation.
I feel, Shari, like you were just, your life unfolded for this purpose.
Yes. Absolutely. It is the topic we're going to talk about. It's because the stories you tell yourself changes everything about yourself. And I was living somebody else's story.
Shari, wait, before we dive into that, I have a question that just popped into my mind. And even though this is your fifth time with us, I don't know if I've ever asked this. Mm-hmm. So if you don't mind, because I, you know, I don't hate you at all. I adore you. But I am envious of that, how you made the switch. And so my question to you is, did you make the switch into this career, life path, soul's purpose, let's call it that, because you disliked being a litigator, or did you do it because you were so called to do this that being a litigator just kind of fell away, if I'm making any sense?
No, you're making a lot of sense. No, I actually stopped practicing law a long time before I started writing, because we had two kids, and we actually adopted my daughter and found out 2 weeks later that I was pregnant, had our son.
Wow.
And I was a practicing litigator at the time, trial attorney, my ex-husband also a trial attorney. And we found out during that time, because we had the baby, that our daughter was not thriving. The baby was developing quicker than her, and we didn't realize we had adopted a child that had a few special needs. And so because of that, a few years later, we had a nanny at first, but a few years later it became apparent that it would help our family if one of us stayed home. And so that happened to be me. And I gotta tell you, going from the courtroom to a room of stay at home moms, talk about hard. My goodness.
I would have died. Easier.
Yes, I would have died to be back in, because I never planned on being a stay at home mom, but that was kind of my career trajectory. And then after that, I became a fitness instructor for a while when my kids were in school. But then when it came time to do something, I still have my license to practice law. So if you see me practicing law again, you know something really bad has happened in my life. But I still have my license. But that was not the way I wanted to. I was called to go, and that wasn't where it felt like I needed to be.
Wow. Okay. So it was kind of like a combination of the two, right?
Yeah.
Life sort of happened, and then you were able to make that switch.
Yeah, and I gotta tell you, everything I ever wanted to do when I was younger, I used to want to be a writer, but I got my first college paper was a bad grade, and so I didn't do that, and I didn't think you'd make any money writing. And then I wanted to be the next Connie Chung. For those not watching, I'm Asian, and she was the only one I could be, because she was the only Asian person on TV when I was growing up. You know, so I wanted to be the next Connie Chung, but I didn't have the confidence to be in front of a camera and to interview and to be a journalist. And I wanted to be a makeup artist, but I definitely didn't think they made money. And so now kind of everything, I ended up getting a BA in psychology. Everything I wanted to do as a younger person has come together now after age 50 into this beautiful career.
Oh, that's amazing. Awesome. What a great story. So speaking of story, let's talk about the topic that we wanted to really focus on today, which is how the story you tell about yourself changes everything about yourself. Let's talk about that.
Yeah. So we're all carrying so many stories. You know, you mentioned that my backstory, and I said that I was adopted, and I was orphaned, so I didn't know my birth story. And so this is the first time I realized the difference between the stories we tell ourselves and how it changes us. So in my life, I've had three birth stories that I've made up, and I won't go through them all because I know our time is limited. But the first story was a child. I said I was a princess from Korea. And in kindergarten for a while, I ruled the playground like I was the princess of recess.
Wow.
Until I got in trouble for lying. And then I didn't tell another birth story till my 30s when I was diagnosed with hip dysplasia and told I needed two full hip replacements. And the doctor said, well, a common cause is a breech birth. And I'm like, well, I have a really bad sense of direction, so that can make sense. So I used to tell kind of this morbid story, actually, but I would add humor of how, you know, I was this breech birth, so I was unlucky, and that's why I was orphaned. I mean, it's a horrible story, but it was my party story. And then my third story is a psychic had told me this beautiful story about me being born out of love and coming from an important family. And I blew her off. But the next day when I was driving to work, and this is still when I was a criminal prosecutor, I was driving to work and I felt myself sit up taller. And I felt my spine straighten. I realized it didn't matter whether or not her story was true or not. What mattered was the story I chose to believe. And I didn't realize how much the stories that I was just telling myself, even in jest, was bringing me down. And so from that moment on, I decided, make sure the stories that you tell yourself about yourself is one that makes you sit up taller, makes you straighten your spine.
I love that.
And
I think one of the biggest challenges for that for many people, they don't even think they're telling a story about themselves. They think they're describing their reality. So where do you begin with somebody to open their mind that part of what's creating the life that they have now is the story that they're telling themselves, and then how to tell a different story?
Yeah. So I now create retreats for women. And one of the activities that I like to do is an "Is It True?" activity where you say the story or what you believe about yourself. And the other person just reflects back and says, "Is it true?"
Byron
Katie. You go down that path. Have you heard of that?
Yeah, Byron Katie. That's her big, do you know it's 100% true? Like that's everything.
And I talk about this with imposter syndrome, especially when working with younger people, when they say, you know, I don't look like the person in the room. And I definitely had this when I started practicing law. And I wish I thought of imposter syndrome in the way I do now. And that is that imposter syndrome is simply an alarm in your system. It's an alarm to tell you, okay, you're in a new situation. You're in a new place. That doesn't mean you don't belong there. It just means it's new. Which also means you leveled up. So when you think of imposter syndrome, that feeling of it as just an alarm going, oh, girl, you just leveled up.
I love that.
It changes the energy around it and changes the story you tell yourself about it. The story changes from I don't belong here to, hey,
I'm
leveled
here.
Up. Yep.
Or,
and I do belong
say,
here.
You could just say I'm new here instead of I don't belong here. Right?
Yeah, exactly.
So will you begin with people by, do you ask them to say, describe yourself in your life? Like, does it begin with getting it down on for anybody listening, where do you begin to identify the story that you're telling yourself, which I'm sure is the first step before you start telling yourself a different story?
Yeah, and it's different for everybody, but it's that piece that there's something that might be holding you back. Like, what's the issue that you're dealing with? For example, for me and my divorce, I was married for 27 years, and finances was, you know, because I stayed home for a while with the kids, and I wasn't the breadwinner. And I realized one of the stories I had been telling myself was that I'm not the breadwinner. I could never be the breadwinner. And we go back to, is that true? And it's like, no, that's not true. Why would I think that was true? Just because I haven't doesn't mean I can't. And just, you know, looking at, so I'll ask somebody, what is that story? What is that thing that you're afraid of? And go, and what's the underlying story with that? And go from there.
So you could say to somebody, what do you think is holding you back from being or having more than what you want? And then that's the beginning of your story.
Yes. That's, you know, it could start anywhere. You know, sometimes it just comes up in conversation as you hear, as you become more aware of this, as, you know, just like you said, a lot of times we're not aware that the stories that we're carrying, because we've carried them for so long, right? There've been stories that our parents told us, there's stories that, you know, school has told us, there's stories that society has told us, there's stories that were true at one time, there's are no longer true now, and we don't know that we're still carrying them. And so once we start becoming aware of these things, and sometimes it takes journaling, right, and writing them down, we start questioning ourselves more. And we start realizing, okay, I feel a little stress here. Why do I feel stress? It must be because I'm stuck. What story am I telling myself?
You know, one of the stories, Sherry, that I think I grew up with, and I probably still have, is in order to make a lot of money, you have to work really, really hard. And then we see like all these social media influencers these days, like, oh, I've made $10 million selling a digital book about how to make $10 million on social media. And I always say to myself, these people, it can't be real. It can't be real. It cannot be that easy to make $10 million. But these idiots are telling people that they're doing it. And I bet you I'm wrong. Am I wrong?
Yeah, you know, absolutely. You know, absolutely. We tell ourselves, especially money, right? We tell ourselves so much about money and our relationship with money. I used to think that, well, you know, where did I get the idea that it's so, I mean, it's hard for me to ask for money. Even when I'm providing a service, when I used to practice law, I went on my own for a while. And this is before people could make payments online and you could be a little detached from it.
Right.
And so I knew I needed a receptionist as my first hire, not because I needed someone to answer the phone. I needed somebody to go get that money. I didn't feel comfortable, and I still struggle with that. And I, you know, that's one story that I am working on currently, is telling myself that money is a tool. You know, I'm reframing what money is so that I look at it differently. I look at it with value, and that relates on to what I see my value is in services that I'm providing. Yes. But we all carry all these different stories, and it's not necessarily that they have judgment because we're carrying them, but they're not working for us. It's time to rewrite that story.
Right. If they're not working. Exactly. Like, it seems so obvious, but so many people, myself included, like, I can say that, just, I just said it to you, right? Oh, it can't be that easy to make money. These people are lying if they're saying they're making that money, but I have not done one damn thing to really test whether they're lying or not.
Yeah. And it's, you know, it's interesting. I'm getting certified in my second level of, being a meditation teacher. This is how far, John, I've gone away from law. I'm actually studying meditation now.
Jonna, this is the part where she rubs it in.
I know. Right in the wound.
But, you know, one of the concepts, though, is to become an observer instead of an absorber. And so when we go through life as an observer of ourselves, we start seeing these stories a little bit, and we start seeing the stories that we're telling ourselves, and we start asking that question, you know, is that story true? Is that story helping me sit up taller? Is it helping me, my spine straighten?
And if not, what might be true?
Correct. Yeah.
So when you do that exercise, so if you go from, is that true? And then you add the next step, what might be true? You're getting people to vocalize what they want. Is that how that would work?
Have you done the exercise, Carol?
Your flip the box one, or?
No. Is this true? So usually the one person who's reflecting just says, is that true? Or I don't know exactly what you mentioned, the woman that.
Oh, Byron designed. Katie. Yeah.
Yes. I don't know exactly the exact, you know, formula that she uses. But with this, the way I use it is the other person doesn't say anything except for, is this true? is that true? And then the person who's saying these statements then says, well, this is, you know, and they say another statement, and then the person reflecting back says, is that true?
I haven't done it in a while. It's similar. And she'll say, do you absolutely know it's 100% true? And she keeps asking until the person's like, well, wait a minute, maybe not. I don't remember. And then there's some sort of effect of, well, what else might be true?
Because I was going to say, do you ever get to a yes, though? If someone keeps saying, is this true? Is this true? And you go, no, no, no. And then are you supposed to get to a yes eventually?
It's so that you can actually think and go a little bit deeper. And you may get to it. You may go, okay, yeah, that is true. That is true. Or you may say, no, that's not true. Well, then what is true? And it may be something entirely different. But it helps you take that pause. And I think the purpose of that is to take a pause, because we keep on going without questioning the stories we've been given. And we keep on going on our days. And we get into this, I don't want to say this rut, but we get into this rhythm where we're letting like our good lives a lot of times keep us from a great life.
And Sherry, what that process does is something you just mentioned a moment ago. When we become somewhat unconscious and we become our train of thought is when we're trapped. When you can step outside of that and become the observer of your thoughts, that's when you can start evaluating them and not being completely sucked in by them. So this process that you have, that is that true, steps the person away from the thought and to be the observer of that thought, which is the first step in creating a better thought.
Yes. And the more you practice it, it starts to become automatic. And, you know, I know my trigger point for getting, when I start to get upset about something, I recognize, okay, that means I must feel like I'm stuck. If I'm getting upset, and if I believe you're never stuck and there's options, even though the options might not be the greatest options, there's always options, which means I'm not stuck, then I could start asking these questions of myself. And what is the story that I'm telling myself? And then, is that true?
Sherry, I know you do keynotes and TEDx, and you've got a retreat we're going to talk about here in a minute coming up. Do you do one-on-one coaching with people?
I do. I don't do that as much as I do now facilitate with groups, because I also work with businesses now. Mm-hmm. And there's a membership that I do where in that membership, there's some one-on-one, but there's also group activities that are monthly in that membership.
But I think that guidance to help us evaluate what we're saying about ourselves and our lives is really valuable. Time, it goes so fast with you. Talk to us about, what is your flip the box method? Or is that what we're talking about already here?
No, not exactly. So with the travels across the U.S., it's amazing what happens when you know, you let yourself be weird and just fall into things and do things ugly, right? I always say it's easier to make ugly pretty than perfect better. And I like to, I just start, and it starts ugly. And that was this travel around the U.S. And what I realized in this travel was that while I was talking to these strangers, a stranger in every state, sharing a meal, I kept on asking about connection and belonging. And so that box we talked about that was found in as a baby, it had been popping up into rooms all my life, symbolically saying, you don't belong here. But I found that belonging in my travels, and I realized what had happened was I had symbolically taken that box I was found in and flipped it, and it became a table for connection, belonging.
Oh my gosh.
And from there, the term flip the box came, and it became a recognized day by the National Archives, March 5th, as a day to simply ask somebody to share a meal with you, which became a movement to ask people to sit down and share a meal, to talk. And now there's a formula, a method that I teach called FLIP, F-L-I-P, to help with connection, to connect with anyone you choose to in 50 seconds or 60 seconds or less. By F, don't focus on you, focus on who, focusing on the person in front of you. L, don't listen to reply, listen to identify. Identify the meaning under what's being said. I, don't choose control, ignite the soul, ignite the connection that you have between you. Don't control. And P, don't play small, play ball, get into the game. And there's more to that, but that's in a nutshell.
You're amazing.
That's genius.
Sure. Of course. Sherry, we definitely want to have you back when your next book comes out. You have a retreat coming up in September or something. I think that is a Flip the Box retreat.
I do. I have a Flip the Box retreat for women. It's a 3-day retreat. It's in the Austin area and it's a small group. There's no more than eight women at a time. And right now there's 2 rooms left. And the women come in, they have really, really good lives, but those good lives are keeping them from a great life. And a lot of that is chipping away at the stories that are no longer theirs to carry.
Okay. If someone wants to learn more about you, work with you, buy your books, how can they do that?
Very easy. I actually changed my website name since I've been on here. Now it's just sherrylead.com.
Okay. Which is spelled S-H-A-R-I. S-H-A-R-I-L-E-I-D. Sherry Lead. Sherry, you're fantastic. We love having you on the show. We love your energy and your insight. Thank you so much for all you do and taking the time to talk with us. And can't wait to have you back again.
Thank you so much for that message. It was great to be able to jump in and talk to you guys today.
All right,
this
Sherry.
This is great. Thank you.
Yes, thank you very much. And congratulations to you, by the way, Sherry. You've been on with us, what'd you say now, like half a dozen times or something, and you haven't had to seek professional help. So good for you. So we've got segment number 3 still on the way. It's John Spilborg. It's Carol Pesci. And it's this fellow. They call me Frankenberry. I know. It's funny. It's weird. I don't know why. And we'll be right back.
Donna and Carol on K104. It's Happy Hour.
Laugh more, stress less. It's Happy Hour with Donna and Carol.
And welcome back again to Happy Hour here, one more time as a matter of fact, with John Spilborg and Carol Pesci. Hello, ladies.
Hello, Frankenberry.
So Sherry Lead, she braved the show yet again.
I love her.
She did. She is amazing. And I love, one of the things I find so interesting, because I never really worked for big corporations, but people, she speaks to big corporations and she helps the executives there, I guess, become better. And for all the people that do work for them, that's really important, because when you have a crappy boss, it can make your life miserable. And I'm sure it has to serve the corporations by helping them become better at what they do and their mission statement. And that, you know who else does that? Our good friend Heather Hansen does that too. Mm-hmm. There's something, you would be great at that, Curly Pesky. You would be really great at that. I'm sure you've done some of that in your past life.
I just think anywhere in our lives where we can connect better and more deeply, personal, professional, that has to enrich everybody's life, yourself as well as whoever you're interacting with. And I think it's something we need more today than ever. Right? Well, we're connected digitally, but not so much personally.
And that's a problem. Yes, I'm not going to say that that's a problem. That is the way it is. And when we lose the personal connection first with ourselves, that is a problem. Like she just, a light bulb went off when, you know, she's talking about basically how you can be self-aware. When she said the thing about if you're angry, if I'm angry, that means I'm stuck. I just had a revelation. She's 100% right. Mm-hmm. And if you're angry, it's because you're stuck. And if you realize that's why you're angry and that you're not stuck, boom, like in an instant, the switch
it does.
So I love that. That was a moment.
Yeah, she had a couple of good one-liners there that made you pause. Mm-hmm. Wow. Mm-hmm. Yeah, she's great. All of her books are available on Amazon as well and on her website, sherrylead.com. She was great.
And she has a podcast, An Imperfectly Perfect Life, the podcast. So she's living the dream and she's good at it. And yes, the fact that she just experienced, because she walks the walk, like she really has. She's had conversations with total strangers for years now across the country, which would make a lot of people uncomfortable. But what a fantastic idea.
And what a commitment. Think about that. 50 different trips to 50 states to sit down and share a meal with somebody she's never met.
Yeah.
That's what got her on the Today Show.
Exactly.
So awesome. So I'm glad we had a nice conversation with her and we'll have her back. But you know, and all the meals she has with all these strangers, we should have one with her at some point. Like, hey, what about us?
We should. And then the question I've neglected to ask her is, how does she stay so tiny? She's incredibly fit.
Oh,
and
yeah.
She said she was a fitness instructor, so that probably helps.
That helps.
Yeah, probably. And all the restaurants she eats at are at the top of hills. and she walks. But all right. Well, listen, Sherry Lead, thank you very much again for joining us. And Jonna Spillborg, Carol Pesci. Any more cat stuff before we roll out the door here?
Spilly? No, all good.
Okay, all right. Miss Carol, anything about the ginger you want to add in here?
The little ginger is sleeping right next to me. She's good.
Okay, all right. That's it's important to check on the furries. That's the box I'm checking. Checking on the furries. So we'll be back with more Happy Hour next time. So please stick around for that. Until then, do stuff. Be good. Be safe. Talk to you later.
You've been listening to Happy Hour with Jonna Spillborg and Carol Pesci. More life advice, real conversation, and another awesome interview comes your way next Sunday at 7 a.m. to help you live better, stress less, and laugh more. Until then, catch this week's show and others at the Happy Hour link on K104online.com.